Blog Talk Radio.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here. Oh, presence of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Anybody feel it tonight? Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here.
Welcome to Hodge to Hodge broadcast podcast. Today we're waiting for the brother Hodge to Hodge co-producer. Are you with us
and
today?
Hodge to Hodge co-producer is here, and I'd like say good evening. We are battling some issues, but with nothing stops the message. I'd like to say again, I see we have several listeners on with us tonight, and I wanted to let you know to the new listeners. This is a dynamic podcast based on getting closer to the Creator. Again, understanding that you have a direct connect. You have a direct connect to the Creator, and you don't need anyone to go to the God for you, because you can go for yourself. Every once in a while, we get exposed, or we get invited, I mean, to hear something that's different from the norm. Every once in a while, things come into our existence that we sometimes don't fully know how to accept it and receive it. Every once in a while, we are blessed with individuals who understand a lot deeper than most and are willing to share that understanding and that knowledge with you. Well, to the podcast audience and to all the listeners, I like to say that every once in a while is right now. So let me present to some and introduce to others our very own messenger, Rondaya.
Bless you, my brother and listeners. It is once again a pleasure to be here. Today, I'm going to take us on a journey that we think about, but we don't really talk about because it's quote-unquote taboo. But we're going to talk about, why do you think God created two sexes? Was this the only way that God figured for us to recreate? Or how should we deal with this incredible experience called sexuality? Now, first of all, we got to do it not with shame and not with guilt. And not with fear. For shame is not virtue, and guilt is not goodness, and fear is not honor. and not with lust, for lust is not passion, and not with abandon, for abandon is not freedom, and not with aggressiveness, for aggressiveness is not eagerness, and obvious not with ideas of control, of power, or domination, for these have nothing to do with love. But sex may be used for purpose of simply personal gratification. The surprising answer is yes, because personal gratification is just another word for self-love. Personal gratification has often gotten a bad rap through the years, which is the main reason so much guilt is attached to sex. You are told you are not to use for personal gratification something that is intensely personal and gratifying. This obvious contradiction is apparent to everyone, but you don't know where to go with the conclusion. So you decide that if you feel guilty about how good you feel during and after sex, that will at least make it all right. It is not unlike the famous singer you all know, who I will not name, who receives millions of dollars for singing her song. Asked to comment on her incredible success and the riches it has brought her, she says, "I feel almost guilty because I love doing this so much." The implication is clear. If it's something you love doing, you should not also be rewarded additionally with monies. Most people earn money by doing something they hate, or something that is at least hard work, not endless joy. So the world's message is, if you feel negativity about it, then you can enjoy it. Guilt is often used by you in an attempt to feel bad about something you feel good about. I'm sorry, I just heard a noise and got a little sidetracked. And thus reconciles yourself with God, who you think does not want you to feel good about anything. You are especially not to feel good about joys of the body, and absolutely not about, as your grandmother used to whisper, sex. Well, the good news is, it's all right to love sex. It's also all right to love yourself. In fact, it's mandatory. What does not serve you is to become addicted to sex or anything else, but it is okay to fall in love with it. Practice saying this 10 times each day. I love sex. Hey, practice saying this 10 times. I love money. Practice saying I love money 10 times a day. Now, you really want a tough one? Try saying this 10 times a day. I love me. I love me. Here are some of the other things you are not supposed to love. Practice loving them. Power, glory, fame, success, winning. Want some more? Try these. You should really feel guilty if you love these: the adulation of others, being better, having more, knowing how, knowing why. Had enough? Wait, here's the ultimate guilt. Here's the ultimate one. You should feel the ultimate gift if you feel that you know God. That's the ultimate gift for someone to say, I know God. But isn't it interesting? All through your life, you have been made to feel guilty about all the things you want most. Yet I tell you this, love, 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 love the things you desire, for your love of them draws them to you. These things are the stuff of life. When you love them, you love life. When you declare that you desire them, you announce that you choose all the good that life has to offer. So choose sex, all the sex you can get, and choose power, all the power you can muster, and choose fame, all the fame you can attain, and choose success. All the success you can achieve, and choose winning. All the winning you can experience. Yet do not choose sex instead of love, but as a celebration of it. And do not choose power over, but power with. Do not choose fame as an end in itself, but as a means to a larger end. Do not choose success at the expense of others, but as a tool with which to assist others. And do not choose winning at any cost, but winning the cost, others nothing, and even bring them gain as well. Now, that was pretty profound. And we got to think about, and actually I'm going to go over that just one more time, because we have been kind of taught that we shouldn't want this and these different types of things in life. But we've got to learn just hearing a little feedback, but what we've got to learn is that these things are good. So, and I'll go over it just one more time. We do not choose sex instead of love, but as a celebration of it. So with love, yes, choose sex. And do not choose power over someone, but power with. Do not choose fame as an end in itself, but as a means to a larger end. To use your fame to be able to spread the good news. And do not choose success at the expense of others, but as a tool with which to assist others.
Amen.
And do not choose winning at any cost, but winning that costs others nothing. So it's okay for you to win, but for you to win shouldn't mean my demise. Go ahead and choose the adulation of others, but see all others as being upon which you should shower adulation and do it. So just because you get adulations, use that and lift someone else up. We've got to remember that we are all one. And when we remember that we are all one, this makes perfect sense. But we've got to remember that fact that we are all one. Go ahead, choose being better, but not better than others, rather better than you were before. Go ahead, choose having more, but only so that you have more to give. And yes, choose knowing how and knowing why, so that you can share all knowledge with others. And by all means, choose to know God. In fact, choose this first, and all else will follow. All of your lives you have been taught that it is better to give than to receive, yet you cannot give what you do not have. This is why self-gratification is so important, and why it is also unfortunate that it comes to sound so ugly. Obviously, self-gratification at the expense of others is not what we're talking about here. This is not about ignoring the needs of others, yet life should also not have to be about ignoring your own needs. Give yourself abundant pleasure, and you will have abundant pleasure to give others. The master's sects know this. That's why they encourage masturbation, which some of you actually call a sin. But you see, God doesn't have judgment, so He doesn't. God's not sitting in judgment about somebody's masturbation. You think God's ready to send somebody to wherever people think that they're going because of masturbation? You think that's what the God that created all of this is sitting up there worrying about, keeping an eye on people? So what we've got to. It may sound offensive to some, but it's only offensive because of what we've been taught. People are free. We've got to understand that people are free to be offended or not as they choose. Yet, do you really think it's going to be possible for us to candidly and openly talk about human sexuality without someone choosing to be offended? So if we talk about it, someone's going to choose to be offended. But that's a choice that they made. It's not offensive. They just choose to be offended by it. People are never really to hear what God talks about when God is talking about it. They usually wait 2,000 years. So when God is talking to us, we're waiting for us to be able to find it somewhere in that thing that they call the Bible. If it's not in that Bible, then we can't accept it as being from God. And I was just merely using this life experience in which we're all engaged, by the way, but of which no one wants to speak, to illustrate a larger point. And the larger point is, give yourself abundant pleasure and you will have abundant pleasure to give to others. A lot of teachers of the so-called sexual revolution, which is a very high form of sexual expression, incidentally, know that if you come to sex with hunger for sex, your ability to pleasure your partner and to experience a prolonged and joyful union of soul and bodies, which is very high reason to experience sexuality, by the way, is greatly diminished. Often sex self-pleasure before they pleasure each other, this frequently done in the presence of each other, and usually with the encouragement and help and loving guidance of each other, then when initial hungers have been satisfied, the deeper thirst of the two, the thirst for ecstasy through prolonged union, can be gloriously satisfied. The mutual self-pleasure is all part of the joyful, the playfulness, the lovingness of sexuality fully expressed. It is one of several parts. The experience you call coitus, or intercourse, might come at the end of a two-hour encounter of love, or it might not. For most of you, if you're very near the only point of a 20-minute exercise, that is 20 minutes if you're lucky. I'm just saying. If not, it's not, but it won't be so bad if it did. Most people have a lot to learn about sexuality and its most wondrous beneficial expressions. I'm nevertheless still seeking to illustrate the larger point. The more pleasure you give yourself, the more pleasure you can give to another. Likewise, if you give yourself the pleasure of power, you have more power to share with others. The same is true of fame, wealth, glory, success, or anything else which makes you feel good. And by the way, I think it's time we look at why a certain thing does make you feel good. Feeling good is the soul's way of shouting, "This is who I am." Have you ever been in a classroom where the teacher was taking attendance, calling the roll, and when you hear your name was called, you say, "Here"? Feeling good is the soul's way of saying "Here." Now, a lot of people are ridiculing the whole idea of doing what feels good. They say that this is the road to hell. Yet I say it is the road to heaven. Much depends, of course, on what you say feels good. In other words, what kinds of experiences feel good to you. Yet I tell you this, no kind of evolution ever took place through denial. If you are to evolve, it will not be because you've been able to successfully deny yourself the things that you know feel good, but because you've granted yourself these pleasures and found something even greater. For how can you know that something is greater if you never taste the lesser? Religion would have you to take it at its word for it. That's why all religions ultimately fail. Spirituality, on the other hand, will always succeed. Religion asks you to learn from the experience of others. Spirituality urges you to seek your own. Religion cannot stand spirituality. It cannot abide it. For spirituality may bring you to a different conclusion than a particular religion. and there is no known religion can tolerate. Religion encourages you to explore the thoughts of others and accept things as your own. Spirituality invites you to toss away the thoughts of others and come up with your own. Feeling good is your way of telling yourself that your last thought was truth, that your last word was wisdom, that your last action was love. To notice how far you have progressed, to measure how highly you have evolved, simply look to see what makes you feel good. Yet don't seek to force your evolution to evolve further, faster, by denying what feels good or stepping away from it. Self-denial is self-destruction. Yet also know this: self-regulation is not self-denial. Regulating one's behavior is an active choice to do or not to do something based on one's decision regarding who they are. If you declare that you are a person who respects the rights of others, a decision not to steal or rob from them, not to rape and plunder, is hardly self-denial. It is self-declaration. That is why it is said that the measure of how far one has evolved is what makes one feel good. It's actually irresponsible if behaving in a way which you might damage others or cause hardship or pain is what makes you feel good, then you have not evolved very far. Awareness is the key here, and it is the task of the elders in your families and communities to create and spread the awareness among the young. It is likewise the job of God's messenger to increase awareness among all people so that they may understand what is done to or for one is done to or for all, because we are all one. When you come from "we are all one," it is virtually impossible to find that hurting another feels good. So-called irresponsible behavior vanishes. It is within these perimeters that evolving beings seek to experience life. It is within these parameters that I say grant yourself permission to have all that life has to offer, and you will discover it has more to offer than you ever imagined. You are what you experience. You experience what you express. You express what you have to express. You have what you grant yourself. I'm just going to stop for a second just for that to sink in, because it's important. And if you notice, I keep saying you, because it is about you. You, and as we spoke on yesterday, you in your truth. Not your feelings, but your truth.
Amen. Amen.
Mm. Well, how do I separate my feelings from my truth, Brother Messenger?
Okay, we spoke on this yesterday, my brother. So what I encourage you to do is to take a little study about yesterday's, but your truth comes from your soul. And your soul is looking for what is the highest point of you, the one that truly brings you the connection with God. Your soul is the connection to God, is the spirit that connects with God. So your truth is something within you. I'll give you an example, and I'm just one off the top of my head. When you have, because we're speaking on sexuality, when you have a significant other and you see someone else and you might want to go into some type of relationship with that person, knowing that you are deceiving your significant other, there is something within inside of you that talks to you. Now, whether we listen to it or not is a different story, but it's something inside of us that tells us that that is wrong. And we'll get to why it's wrong, but it's something inside of you, and that is your soul speaking to you. And you've got to be aware of the soul speaking to you and your mind speaking to you. And my brother, what I will do, if we have a moment left over as I go on. I'll go back and go over some of the things in which we discussed yesterday, because it explained to us how the soul is able to help us to reach the greater us, who we really are.
Okay, I think at this point here, about, like I said, we are under our new format. How about we just take just a second while the messenger reloads and just listen to a little gospel music again? Because it's just a beautiful song, and we kind of use this as our midway through the message music. So if you would listen. Praise is what I do.
Thank you.
Bless you, my brother. I just want to say, just getting back to the original question, yes, God created two sexes for the same reason he put the yin and the yang in everything, in the whole universe. They are part of the yin and the yang, this male and this female. They are the highest living expression of it in your world. They are the yin and the yang in form, and one of the many physical forms. The yin and the yang, the here and the there, the this and the that, the up and the down, the hot and the cold, the big and the small, the fast and the slow, the matter and the antimatter. All of it necessary for you to experience life as you know it. And then how do we best express our sexual energy? Lovingly, openly, playfully, joyfully, outrageously, passionately, sacredly, romantically, humorously, spontaneously, touchingly, creatively, unbashfully, sensually, and of course, frequently.
All of the above.
And there are some that say that sexual relationship is just for procreation. And I tell you that that's just not true. Procreation is the happy after effect, not the logical forethought of most human sexual experience. The idea that sex is only to make babies is naive, and the thought that sex should therefore stop when the last child is conceived is worse than naive. It violates human nature, and that is the nature that God gave you. Sexual expression is the inevitable result of an internal process of attraction and rhythmic energy flows that fuels all of life. God has built into all things an energy that transmits its signal throughout the universe. Every person, animal, plant, rock, tree, every physical thing sends out energy like a radio transmitter. You are sending off energy, emitting energy, right now, from the center of your being in all direction. This energy which you move outward in wave patterns, the energy leaves you, moves through walls, over mountains, past the moon, and into forever. It never, ever stops. Every thought you've ever had colors this energy. When you think of someone, if that person is sensitive enough, he or she can feel it. Now tell me, we haven't experienced this already.
Yes.
You be thinking about somebody, and then all of a sudden that person calls you. I had a feeling you was thinking about me. Or mm-hmm. I was feeling about you at the same time. This is because what we are is energy. That's what God is, energy. The vibration, the rate of speed, the wavelengths, the frequency of your Emmanuel shifts and changes constantly through your thoughts, your moods, your feelings, your words, and your actions. You hear the saying, sending off good vibes, and it's true. That's very accurate. Now, every other person is naturally doing the same thing, and so the ether, the air between you, is filled with energy. A matrix of intertwining, interwoven personal vibes that form a tapestry more complex than you can ever imagine. This weaves into the combined energy field within which you live. It is powerful and affects everything, including you. You then send out new creative vibes, impacted as you are by the incoming vibes to which you are being subjected. And these, in turn, add to and shift the matrix, which in turn affects the energy field of everybody else, which impacts the vibes they send off, which impacts the matrix, which impacts you, and so forth. Now, you may think this is all just fanciful illusions, but have you ever walked into a room where the air was so thick you could cut it with a knife?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Or have you ever heard of two scientists working on the same problem at the same time on opposite sides of the globe, each working on the problem without the other's knowledge, and each suddenly coming up with the same solution simultaneously and independently? These are common occurrences and some of the more obvious manifestations of the matrix. The matrix, the combined current energy field within any given parameter, is a powerful vibe. It can directly impact, affect, and create physical objects and events. Wherever two or more are gathered in my name, that's the tie-in to what is actually going on. Wherever two or more gathered in my name, that's that energy, that extra energy that can go out and create and do all kinds of things. The popular psychology has termed this energy matrix the collective consciousness. It can and does affect everything on our planet. The prospect of war and the chances for peace, the geophysics upheaval of planets beclaimed, widespread illness or worldwide wellness, all is the result of consciousness. So to the more specific event and conditions in your personal life, all the world is exchanging energy all the time. Your energy is pushing out, touching everything. Everything and everyone else is touching you. But now, an interesting things happen. At some point midway through you and everything else, these energies meet. To make a more vivid description, let's imagine two people in a room. They are on far sides of the room from each other. We'll call them Tom and Mary. Now, Tom's personal energy is transmitting signals about Tom in a 360-degree circle out in the universe. Some of that energy wave hits Mary. Mary, meanwhile, is emitting her own energy, some of which hits Tom. But these energies meet each other in a way you may not have thought of. They meet midway through Tom and Mary. Here, the energies unite. Remember now, these energies are physical phenomena. They can be measured and felt and combined to form a new energy unit we'll call Tomary. It is the energy of Tom and Mary combined. Tom and Mary could very well cause this energy, the body between them. For it is just that, a body of energy to which both are connected, which both are feeding the continual energy which flows to it, and which is sending energy back to its two sponsors along the thread or cord or pipeline that always exists within the matrix. Indeed, this pipeline is the matrix. It is the experience of Tomary, which is the truth of Tom and Mary. It is to this holy communion that both are drawn, for they feel along the pipeline the sublime joy of the bodies between, of the joined one, of the blessed union. Tom and Mary, standing off at a distance, can feel in a physical way what is going on in the matrix. Both are urgently drawn towards this experience. They want to move towards each other at once. Now their training sets in. The world has trained them to slow down, to mistrust the feeling, to guard against hurt, hold back. But the soul wants to know Tomary now. If the two are lucky, they will be free enough to set aside their fears and trust that love is all there is. They are drawn to each other, to the body between them. Tom and Mary is already being experienced metaphysically, and Tom and Mary will want to experience it physically. So they move closer together, not to get to each other. It's just a way to casually observe. But they are each trying to get to Tomary. They are trying to reach that place of divine union with which already exists between them. The place they already know they are one. And that is what it's like to be one. Now, I know I just shot off a lot of stuff, but that's what it's like to be one. But we've already condemned that to a secret closet or the bedroom with the lights out late in the middle of the night. But our whole purpose is to become one. And I'm not saying that meaning that we should all be involved in sexual activities throughout the day to become one. I'm just trying to show how sexuality isn't this secret or bad thing that they want you to think it is. So Tom and Mary, they move towards this feeling, their experience, and as they close the gap between them, as they shorten the cord, the energy they both are sending to Mary travels a shorter distance and thus more intense. They move closer still. The shorter the distance, the greater the intensity. The more closer still, they move closer still. Once more, the intensity increased. Now they stand just a few feet apart. The body between them is glowing hot, vibrating with terrific speed. The connection to and from Tomari is thicker, wider, brighter, burning with the transfer of incredible energy. The two are said to be burning with desire. They are. They move closer. They touch. The sensation is almost unbearable, exquisite. They feel at the point of their touch all the energy of Tomari, all the compact, intensity, unified substance of their combined being. If you open yourself to your greatest sensitivity, you'll be able to feel this subtle, sublime energy as a tingling when you touch. Sometimes the tingling will run right through you as or heat at the point of your touch, heat which you may also suddenly feel throughout your body. But concentrate deeply within your lower chakra or energy center. It will burn there, especially intensely. And Tom and Mary will now be said to have the hots for each other. Now the two embrace and they close the gap even further, with Tom and Mary and Tomo all filling nearly the same space. Tom and Mary can feel Tomari between them, and they want to get even closer, to literally melt with Tomari, to become Tomari in physical form. You have created in the male, God has created in the male and female bodies a way to do that. At this point, Tom and Mary's bodies are ready to do that. Tom's body is now ready to literally enter Mary. Mary's body is ready to literally receive Tom with hers. The tingling, the burning, the now beyond intense. It is indescribable. The two physical bodies join. Tom, Mary, and Tomari become one in the flesh. Angels light up. Still, the energy flows between them urgently and passionately. Now, I just want to know, as I'm talking to you, I know it kind of sounds like a little love story and stuff, but this is just to let you know the powerful wonderfulness of sexuality that God has given us. But for so long, we've looked on it as it being such a secret or naughty thing that we're sneaking and doing, per se, behind God's back. But just think about all of this that God put into a sexual relationship. Think about all that he's put into it, and then ask yourself, do you really think it's something that he wanted you to hide or to do only after 11 o'clock? And so this is why I wanted to go in real detail with it. I'm not trying to write a love story, but this is a love story because it's God's love for us and what he has given us. And I want us to be able to recognize that and use it without being ashamed. And the only reason we become ashamed of it a lot of times is because what other people have told us about it. Because we all know when we indulge in that and that type of relationship, nobody's complaining. But it's something that we have to keep to ourselves because we've been taught that it's not right. So there are physical chemistries as well. The two have become one, and a third entity often is created of the two in physical form. Thus, an outpicturing of Tom Mary is created. Flesh of their flesh, blood of their blood. They have literally created life. Have not I said to you that we are gods? They have literally created life. Have not I said that we are God? And who is it that we know that literally creates life? You see, the beauty when you desire to... What's that? I'm sorry.
The Creator.
The Creator, and that's what we are. That's what we are. And we've got to accept that. Not only accept it, but we've got to walk in it and glow in it. Because that is magnificent. I mean, you know, I think we got a baby boy on the line. And I think if he was I don't really want him to right now, but if he was to have something to say, I'm quite sure he would think there's some freaky deaky stuff going on up in here. Huh? But this is God. This is letting you know how wonderful of an experience that is. So and I say it with that passion, not for us to all go out and become little, as they would say, little horrors. I'm not saying it for that. It's just for us to understand. If you see beauty in it, it's because you decide to see it. If you see ugliness where you are afraid to see beauty, it would amaze you to know how many people see what I've just said as ugly. Now, I got to tell you, it wasn't me, but there are people that would consider that to be ugly. What I'm saying is wrong, like I'm advocating something that is not of God. This dance that I've just described, this energy interaction I've explained, is occurring all the time in and with everything. Your energy beams from you like a golden light. It's interacting constantly with everything and everyone. The closer you are, the more intense the energy. The further away, the more subtle. Yet you are never totally disconnected from anything. There is a point between you and every other person, place, or thing which exists. It is here with two energy meet, forming a third with much less dense but no less real energy unit. Everyone and everything on the planet and in the universe is emitting energy in every direction. The energy mixes with all other energies, crisscrossing in patterns of complexity beyond the ability of your most powerful computers to analyze. Yet crisscrossing, intermittently intertwining energies racing between everything and you can call physical is what holds physicality together. This is the matrix of which I've spoken. It is also this matrix that you can send a signal to each other, messages, meanings, healings, and other physical effects, creating something by individuals, but mostly by mass consciousness. We can heal. It is this energy that heals. And this is why, once again, it's so powerful wherever two or three are gathered, because then it becomes mass consciousness. And I can tell you right now, you get seven people together just truly trusting and believing in the exact same thing and doubting not, and I guarantee you it will happen faster than we can even begin to imagine. This is the power that we have. This is the ability that God has given us because of who we really are. This energy, as I have explained, attracted to each other. This is called, guess what? What do you think it's called? This is called the law of attraction. This law, like attracts like. Like thoughts attract like thoughts along the matrix. And when enough of these similar energies clump together, so to speak, their vibration becomes heavier. They slow down and become, and some become matter. Thoughts do create physical form. And when many people are thinking the same thing, there is a very highly likelihood their thoughts will form a reality. This is why "we pray for you" is such a powerful statement. There are enough testimonies to the effectiveness of unfiled prayer to fill a book. It is also true that unprayer-like thoughts can create effects. A worldwide consciousness of fear, for instance, or anger, or lack, insufficiency, can create that experience across the globe or within a given locale where these collective ideas are strongest. The Earth nation we call the United States, for example, has long thought itself to be a nation under God, individual, and liberty and justice for all. It is not a coincidence that the nation rose to become the most prosperous on Earth. It is also not surprising that this nation is gradually losing all that it has to work so hard to create. But this nation seems to have lost its vision. The term "under God, individual" means just that. They express the universal truth of unity, oneness. The matrix is very difficult to destroy, but the matrix has been weakened. Religion, freedom has been religiously, righteously bordered on religious intolerance. Individual freedoms have all but vanished as individual responsibilities have disappeared. The notion of individual responsibility has been distorted to mean every man for himself. This is the new philosophy that imagines itself to be harkened back to the early American tradition of rugged individual. But the original sense of individual responsibility upon the American vision and the American dream was founded in deep meanings in its highest expression in the concept of brotherly love. What made America great was not that every man struggled for his own survival, but that every man accepted individual responsibility for the survival of all. America was a nation that would not turn its back on the hungry, would not say no to the needy, would open its arms to the weary and the homeless, would share its abundance with the world. Yet as America became great, America became greedy. Not all, but many. And as time went on, more and more, as America saw how good it was possible to have it, they sought to have it even better. Yet there was only one way to have more and more. Someone else had to have less and less. As greed replaced greatness in the American character, there was less room for compassion for the least among the people. The less fortunate were told it was their own damn fault if they didn't have more. After all, America was the land of the opportunity. No one except the less fortunate found it possible to admit that America's opportunities were limited institutionally to those already on the inside track. In general, they have not included many minorities, such as those of certain skin colors or genders. America became arrogant internationally as well. As millions starved across the globe, America grew away from food, grew enough food each day to feed entire nations. America was generous with some, yet, but increasingly, her foreign policy came to be an extension of her own vested interests. And I'm going to, as time winds down, I'm going to stop there, but I just want to give it some thought so that we can begin to see why not only the things that we think about, but it explains to you a little bit more why we're headed in the direction that we're headed. Remember mass consciousness, and we say, well, this mass consciousness that is driving our nation right now is what we would call no good. But you got to remember that God has no favor, no choice. It is our will. And right now, the mass conscious of those that want to do the opposite of what America truly stood for are they're going in a different way, but they have the mass conscious. They're putting their stuff together. They're uniting, and we choose not to do that. We choose to try to get our own little piece of the pie and not come together and use our mass consciousness to change things. So on that note, I'm going to stop this lesson here. I pray that something was said, that you were able to get something out of this so that we can begin to look at things from the godly perspective. And remember that it is about you. You have to be happy. You have to be your truest self for you to be able to be that light to someone else. So don't let anybody tell you what you need to do. And please understand how I'm coming with this. That's my cue, and I do truly thank you.
Thank you, Messenger.
Brother Producer?
Yes, I'm still here. Again, I just wanted to take a moment and say a powerful message from our brother Messenger this evening. And again, it was some things that we have to digest, and you might have to listen to this broadcast two or three times to fully understand what it is that we're trying to put out to you.
I do truly thank each and every one for tuning in. Baby boy, little sis, I do thank you for finding time to come and hear a word. I hope something was said that might be able to encourage you as you become the best of you that you want to be.
Amen.
And as we close out, I appreciate you jumping in there. As we close out our last minute or so, again, let's share the message. When you hear the podcast, please follow us on Blog Talk Radio. Again, it is my desire to build a podcast audience of at least 50,000 people, and I'd like to have that done in the next 2 months. So again, if the message is a message that you would value yourself, then I ask that you share this message and help House to House podcast reach the 50,000 member mark. And again, I'm asking you to help me make that happen. Without further ado, I say good night. And we'll go around the horn, and we got a minute left. Cast members, get your good night, Sam.
Good night, everyone. And happy Father's Day.
Thank you. Baby boy, get your good. You still with us, baby boy?
Yeah, it's been real.
Okay. Hey, Brother Messenger, I thank you for a dynamic message. And as always, I appreciate it, and I hope that we hear these words and apply them to our everyday life. This is Haas to Haas Podcast saying good night until Thursday night, where the Messenger will address you again. Have a nice evening, everyone.
Amen.
Bless you.
Bye-bye.
Good night.